Just as we get started, I just wanted to kind of give out some stats, because this really identifies a number of the issues or problems that EMS is trying to solve for you. So 63% of data breaches in organizations were a result of weak or stolen credentials. So you've probably heard about a lot of the incidents, the Sony attacks, phishing scams, where passwords are stolen from employees, and those are then used to go in and breach organizations to retrieve data. Another kind of stat related to that is 7 out of the 10 most commonly used devices by employees have serious security threats and vulnerabilities that are there and unpatched. And so how do you solve that? How do you deal with that as an organization? Who here has heard of shadow IT? Anyone? Okay, so shadow IT is another trend that we're seeing. 80% of employees are doing shadow IT in order to get their work done. So shadow IT really means the use of unapproved services and software, unapproved by the IT department and also uncontrolled by the IT department, in order to get your work done. So one example might be, instead of using Exchange, I'm using Gmail, or instead of using OneDrive, I'm using Box. And those other apps and services don't have the required controls and security constraints to keep the data from your employees that to be secure and not in, get into the hands of other users. So while dealing with all these problems, you're then facing the issue of you're not seeing any new budget to go out and tackle those things. So IT budgets are only expected to grow by about 0.6%. And so how do you deal with these new problems faced with a fixed budget and without any growing resources? So this is really where Microsoft EMS is trying to solve these issues for you. And so really, how do you keep up with all these threats, these usage patterns, by employees, but at the same time also trying to ensure that you're empowering them to be mobile. So they're moving away from, I can only get my work done at a desktop or within a certain corporate network. I now want to be internet facing. I want to be able to use my phone. I need to be able to get my work done regardless of what type of device I'm on. And so we want to empower employees to be able to do that, while at the same time making sure that the data that they're accessing and creating does not get into the wrong hands. And so Microsoft vision is to use, really to offer EMS to the market as a solution to address these issues. And it comes as really a multi-layered or multi-dimensional approach. It spans who are the users, what identity are those users using when accessing these services. It addresses devices. So devices, offer different types of vulnerabilities depending on the operating system or depending on the apps that are running on those devices. The apps themselves, they may be approved, they may be secure or not. And then finally, the data itself. How can we protect the data so that regardless of where that data goes, that data is protected, regardless of where it is and what users have it. So those protections are also intended to span your employees, but also business partners, as well as customers. By the way, I just wanted to add that rather than you sit there and listen to me blather on for 45 minutes or whatever, we would like to make this session interactive. So at any point, feel free to raise your hand to ask a question if there's something related to what I'm talking about or not, but is pressing and you came here to learn about, feel free to interrupt and ask a question. We'll also have some time at the end of the session so that you can ask those questions if you don't want to interrupt. So as I was mentioning in terms of what the goal of EMS is, it's really to serve kind of three pillars of customer needs. And one, and I think probably the most foremost, is how to secure against new threats. And these are threats that may be emerging today that weren't prevalent or existed 5, 10, 15 years ago when dealing with existing or legacy infrastructure. And so in order to address that issue, and one area where we're going to really deep dive more throughout this discussion is having an identity-driven solution for that. So rather than trying to solve or address these threats through traditional approaches, which could be things like locking out down devices, locking down networks, creating network infrastructures, that all of the security controls actually extend and are based on a user's identity and go with that identity regardless of where that user is. The second area of user need is really around that user freedom. So as I was mentioning, in terms of being able to empower users to be mobile so that they can get their work done regardless of where they are in the world. I've been talking to some of you about the fact that you might have a business that has a mobile sales force or a support team who are going throughout Kenya or other countries, and really their only way to access their productivity apps and data are through mobile apps. So there's no PC, there's no fixed location that they're going to every day to get their work done. And this is really a key goal in terms of what we want to empower through enterprise mobility and security. And so in order to address that, what we're doing is implementing a number of controls around those multiple layers of protection that I mentioned earlier. So being able to apply protections and configuration at a device level, as well as an application level, and at the data itself. And so Nana will actually go into greater detail around what are some of the capabilities within EMS that can allow you to do that. And then finally, really a key goal of EMS is how do we provide a comprehensive solution? How can it be a fully Microsoft-based solution so that you can leverage existing investments that you've made in Microsoft without having to put together a kind of point solutions for each of the vectors or goals that you have in mind? Many of our competitors address different needs in different spaces. So for example, who here has heard of AirWatch or Mobile Iron? So those are two competitors with Intune who really have kind of made they've established themselves in the mobile device management space, but they really don't integrate that well across our entire stack. And so that's really where another key benefit of EMS lies, is that we integrate tightly with all of the other technologies within Microsoft, like Azure Active Directory, like Office 365, like Windows, and that's something that we think our competitors can't touch. So have I sold you on EMS yet? Okay, I'm still maybe seeing a little skepticism, so maybe we'll need to get a bit further into each of these areas. So the identity-driven security aspect, and again, kind of the mantra we use within EMS is identity is the new control plane. So what we've been seeing is a lot of organizations, and I don't know if this would be as true for Africa, frankly, and I think that's one of the benefits of us coming here, but certainly in other markets like Europe and North America, a lot of organizations are coming from a traditional kind of on-prem focused infrastructure where a lot of their workloads have been deployed on-prem, and they've been able to secure that by a network perimeter, so through something like a firewall or proxies, and other hardware and software-based solutions. But all of that shifts when you go to the cloud. And so we'll talk more in detail about that, but that's really what identity-driven security and identity as the new control plane is all about. So I mentioned at the beginning that 63% of data breaches are the result of a lost or stolen credential. And so another key aspect of this whole promise around identity-driven security is how do I prevent that, but also how do I detect when it's happened? That detection is actually a key aspect to security. And is a problem that, in fact, it takes a long time to discover. We found that it can take up 200 days or more for a penetration or a vulnerability to be detected within an organization. And you could just imagine how much damage would have been done in those 200 days. And so, again, another key aspect of this pillar is really about how do we make that detection a lot faster for you. And we really leverage a lot of the capabilities within Azure and machine learning in order to do that. So as I was talking about the kind of what we've been seeing in existing on-prem deployments, and this may or may not be true depending on the size and kind of age of your organization, but many organizations are coming from an existing kind of topology where they've deployed Active Directory, and they've deployed a number of on-prem workloads and secured them by, you know, network perimeter and firewall. And all of that works quite well. I mean, Active Directory is a great identity provider in terms of being able to establish ways for, you know, accounts to be provisioned, single sign-on to various applications, access control rules and policies so that only, you know, relevant data is accessible based on the rights and privileges of a user. But what happens then when we introduce cloud apps? I was talking with some folks at lunch today who were telling me about, you know, they use one cloud app for CRM, they use one cloud app for email, they use a bunch of other cloud apps, and for the users, they actually have to sign in with a different account every time to each of those apps. And so one of the key goals in terms of how can we kind of shift all of the benefits of Active Directory that you may have deployed on-prem and bring those benefits to the cloud, that comes through a service called Azure Active Directory, which is essentially a cloud-based offering really built by the same Active Directory team but running in the cloud. And it serves as an identity backbone for pretty much all of the current Microsoft cloud services, but can also be your central identity provider for all of the other cloud apps that you may be using within your organization. And so then the question becomes, well, how do I bridge that connection? So there's actually a tool. There's a way to bridge that so that you don't need to move away completely from your existing Active Directory deployment. There's, in fact, a system called Azure Active Directory Connect, which then allows you to essentially synchronize those accounts to Azure AD so that a user can still use their same credentials when they access these cloud services. And by the way, I'll just pause here and say that this isn't necessarily a requirement if you don't have Active Directory today. So on-prem AD isn't a prereq for Azure Active Directory. If you're starting as kind of mainly a cloud-based organization, you're already using just cloud apps, you can just start with Azure Active Directory on its own. But essentially, the point is you have options. You can either start from cloud only, or if you're coming from an existing on-prem infrastructure, you can bridge the gap through this simple connection. So again, that then brings the benefits of single sign-on to all of these other cloud apps that are being used within your organization, and then also introduces the ability to provide different self-service capabilities, like being able to allow end users to reset their own password if they happen to forget it, or maybe that you want to publish these apps to your end users so that they even are aware of what apps are available to them to get their work done. So all of these benefits come from bridging that on-prem gap with Azure Active Directory so that it can provide you as the single identity provider for all of these apps. So just to reemphasize, you know, Azure AD has worked with a number of various cloud app providers to make sure that establishing Azure AD as the identity provider is a seamless experience and that it will work well. And I think it's actually gotten into the thousands of cloud apps. If you go over to the portal, the Azure portal website, you can in fact browse which of those apps are available to you. And it really does include all of the top kind of enterprise apps out there that you would expect to integrate with. So to an end user, the benefit is just, I know my one username and password. I can go to, Salesforce or Workday or Box and just enter my same creds, and I can access the data that I need to get my work done. And again, this spans, geo regions, regardless of where you are. I can connect to these services regardless of what network I'm on. I don't need to VPN into a corporate network, and there's boundless areas that I can access these services from. And then finally, keep in mind that another key benefit of all of these cloud services is that they scale, right? That you're leveraging Azure and the scalability that Azure provides, which I think has been hammered home over and over throughout this conference in terms of the, almost limitless scalability that we have at our, we have that as a resource that we can use within Microsoft data centers. And so that then no longer becomes a concern for you as you deploy these solutions. So then the question of security comes in, right? Like, great, now I'm enabling single sign-on and access to all of these cloud apps using a single identity. But what happens when that identity gets compromised? And that's definitely a real problem, but one that you can actually solve through EMS. You can imagine a user's identity gets compromised. Either they were phished or through other means, their credentials were acquired. And then what is stopping them from using those credentials, from accessing all of those services that you've now federated with Azure Active Directory? You may not even know what devices they're coming from or what networks they're coming from. And then, compounding all of that, how do you then even detect that they're there? Which is another key problem that EMS attempts to solve, because I think detection is really one of the first defenses against some of these security breaches. So we feel that, current solutions or traditional solutions aren't sufficient, but there are defenses within EMS that are actually much more effective. And so this really breaks down into these kind of three layers of defense that EMS can provide. And we'll get into a bit more detail about each one. But the first would be just protecting at the front door. And here is where actually I kind of specialize a little bit, because one of the key areas I work on is something called conditional access, which is really all about being able to define access policies and various security controls so users who are accessing these cloud services need to meet certain security criteria. It's not just simply as, entering a username and password. There might be other requirements that you have to keep in mind before accessing those services, and they can vary. So I'll get into that in a little bit more detail. The second layer of defense would be then to protect against user mistakes. And so I don't think I mentioned this stat before, but about 33% of data loss incidents are actually a result of just simple user mistakes. Maybe they did something unintentional that violated policy, but they just didn't know about it. And so how do you defend against those things? And EMS has some services that offer protection against that. And then, as I've been saying all along, how do you detect those attacks sooner? Because the sooner they're detected, the sooner they can be stopped, and the sooner you can prevent the damage that may be caused as a result. So just to kind of go a bit deeper in terms of protecting at the front door, this feature set we call conditional access enables administrators to set a number of different access control criteria in order to access these services. So just to give you a couple of examples to kind of paint a picture, you know, I mentioned the stats about, you know, the fact that a lot of these breaches are a result of compromised passwords. Well, one defense against that is multi-factor authentication. Have you, you've heard of that? Hopefully, actually, you have enabled it on your personal accounts as well, because it can be a very effective protection against compromised credentials. So for those of you who don't know, the idea is that instead of just requiring a username and password, which is one kind of credential or form of authentication, you're required to step that up with a second factor. And usually what that means is you need to prove not only who you are, but that you in fact are in possession of something that also is allowed access to that service. And so, and in fact, those factors can, there's other factors too, like it might be who you, what you know. So you might know a certain pass, like PIN or special security phrase or token that also allows you access. So one common thing that, in fact, at Microsoft, we have this implemented in order to access our own email. We get, once we enter our username and password, we're then called on our phone. We answer the phone, and then we're asked for a second, for a PIN. And so let's say if our credential got into the wrong hands, if we got phished and someone got our email username and password, if they then tried to sign into email, it would trigger that phone call, and because that attacker did not have my phone, they wouldn't be able to get in. So that might be one of the criteria in order to access especially more sensitive services that you would want to put in place in your organization to secure those resources. On top of that, conditional access as a feature set will enable you to conditionally apply those requirements. So you may want to only require that multi-factor challenge happens when I'm accessing a highly sensitive app, or I'm coming from a certain IP network range, like I'm outside of my corp net. And that's where the conditional comes from, because we can intelligently apply those policies based on a number of factors so that it's appropriate for the situation. So I thought, just to add some more kind of illustration to this aspect, I'd just walk through a demonstration of what this would look like. And this demonstration is a bit different from the MFA example I gave. And this is where Intune as a service comes into the picture. So similar to this kind of step up in terms of security in order to access email, another common scenario that we had heard about and built a solution for is when someone is accessing email from a mobile device, that it can only be done from a device that's managed by Intune. And the reason for that is Intune can then make sure that that device has a password or a PIN, it's not jailbroken, it can ensure that, you know, it's at a certain OS level so that there's no vulnerabilities and so forth. And so what I'm gonna show is just a quick video of what, from an end user's perspective, that would look like. So starting from an iPad, the scenario here is the end user is setting up a new mail account for their corporate mail. It's on a brand new iPad, just bought it, you know, do you guys have Amazon here? No? Wherever you get it. And when they, I'm just gonna pause because this goes kind of fast. When they set up their mail, rather than starting to sync their email right away, they get this email message that shows up in their inbox. And it tells you, sorry, you need to do more stuff because IT requires it. We want to make sure you're on a secure device. We want you to enroll your device with Intune. And so the user then hits this link, which then directs them to a experience that then prompts them to download a app in the App Store. I'm just going to pause it there. Called the Company Portal app. And the Company Portal app then drives the rest of the enrollment process and makes sure that everything's secure on that device before email can be accessed. This demo just also shows another way, because maybe, oh, well, I didn't get my mail that way. Let's try OWA, Outlook Web Access. I'm going to go through the browser. See if I can work around this. So I'm going to then log into the Office portal. And then I'm going to go and try and access mail. Aha, I'm sorry. Your IT department requires that you need to beef up your security. And so, again, this link will take you to the same experience to install the company portal app and go in and enroll with Intune. So for this demo, I happen to have it already installed, but it's available in the App Store. I sign into the app. And then I'm prompted here to go through the enrollment process. So this is essentially just kind of from a technology standpoint, involves a few steps. iOS as a platform supports mobile device management that Intune taps into. It involves installing a configuration profile and a number of security profiles. And then after that, Intune will evaluate the compliance of that device and then only give access to email once that's been checked. So this just kind of goes through it. By the way, I edited this for time a little bit, so it might take a little longer. But you get the idea. So eventually it finishes and kicks back to the company portal. And so once that is done, I'm going to go get my email. And there it is. So that would be the experience from the end user standpoint. And this is something that a lot of our customers have deployed quite widely in their organizations today in order to enable their workforce to be mobile, but at the same time to stay secure. So what I thought I would also do is just give you kind of an idea of, from an admin standpoint, what would it entail to set up that type of policy. So what I want to just show you here, and I probably will have to refresh and sign in again. Let me just double check. Okay, we're in. So what this shows is the Azure portal and the Azure Active Directory workload, which is a part of that portal. Within Azure Active Directory, we actually have a new preview that we've exposed. Some of anyone here kind of dabble with the classic Azure portal at all? So we have the classic Azure portal, which is an older one, and we're actually starting to move all of those workloads into this newer, more modern Azure portal, and a number of these different Microsoft products and services are starting to preview some of those new admin UIs there. So this is something that we just launched in December and expands on some of the capabilities that already existed in market today. So just to walk you quickly and give you a sense of what setting up a policy might look like, your entire organization within your tenant. So that would be defined as part of the assignment section within this policy. Another aspect to the policy then is what apps do I want to apply this to? As I mentioned in the previous example, some of your security requirements might be different depending on what apps are being accessed. So some of the more common ones that we see are, in fact, SharePoint Online and Exchange Online. I'll just kind of zoom in because I know it's a little difficult to see here. But essentially, any of the apps that you federated with, and these could be third-party apps too, like Box, are then also available there and will support these conditional access policies. There are a number of other conditions as well that could depend. That could be the sort of the dependency as to whether this policy will apply or not. Something that I'll talk a little bit more later about is this notion of sign-in risk. So in fact, there's a service or a feature within Azure Active Directory called Identity Protection, which leverages machine learning to be able to detect anomalous or risky sign-in sessions based on a number of different criteria that have been fed into this machine learning algorithm. So the output of that is essentially a risk level for that sign-in, and that can be then used as a condition as to when to apply a policy. So one example might be if you're at a medium sign-in risk, require MFA for that login. If you're at a high sign-in risk, we're just going to block you. And I won't walk through all of these, but I think you get the idea. We can base these policies on location, on what device type or platform you're on, even what type of client app you're on, mainly the difference between browser versus desktop or mobile apps. So once those are defined, you can then establish what are your security controls. So at the top level, I can just say, I don't care, I'm just going to block. If you meet these conditions, you're out of luck. Or if I'm going to allow access, I might want to step up some of the requirements. So the ones that we have available today require MFA, require a compliant device, which is the example that I just showed on the iPad. Also require a domain join device. So you might be coming from a Windows device, and because you're domain join, I know about you, I know you're managed, I'm going to let you in. Otherwise, if you're coming from a home PC, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. We'll add to this list over time. We have scenarios around, what mobile apps you're coming from and so forth. And so this is actually quite a powerful policy engine that we've been developing within EMS. I'll just pause there because, I've been talking a long time. You have a question, young lady.
Call it a question, but another front door tactic, at least from the hardware side, and I'd love to know if you guys include this in your solution, is AES keywords. So advanced encrypted standard keywords, and then from Microsoft as well. But it actually encrypts your keystrokes before it even reaches your computer. So that's where we found vulnerabilities from the hardware side. So if we have all the firewalls in place on your computer, but if someone can understand your keystrokes before you put it in, then they can steal your password that way.
Yep.
So all Microsoft keyboards, latest ones, all have that standard. So just another plug right there.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah, so I think that just reemphasizes the benefits of being able to kind of establish what is your baseline for allowing access, and there are a lot of potential capabilities there. There some of the other questions that come up, like how do I gain visibility into who is accessing these apps? How do I actually prevent data leakage, which is something Nana is going to talk about more? And then how do I control access even from on-prem or the cloud? How do I protect the data itself? And so CloudApp Security, Intune, Azure Information Protection, these are all services within the EMS suite that are aimed to answer these questions and address these problems. And then finally, how do we detect that these attacks have happened so that we can prevent the damage from happening further? We want to know about it quickly so that we can prevent it. So again, a couple of other services available within EMS, Advanced Threat Analytics, which is really geared more towards on-prem deployments, as well as CloudApp Security, which is a proxy-based solution mainly for cloud apps and accessing those apps in the cloud. Okay, so I talked a lot about the identity approach. Now Nana's going to come up and talk about managed productivity.
So my name is Nana Asokagondia. I am a software engineer on the Intune team. Based on what Chris was saying, how many of you think this is important? Okay. How many of you work at a big enterprise company? Great. How many of you want to work at a big enterprise company? Awesome. How many of you want to own your own company that's innovative and makes money? All right, so the point being that you're here because you've pushed yourself in the technical aspect, right? You're doing innovative stuff, right? So someone's gonna look at your idea and think that, hey, that's worthy. And in a data-driven economy that we're moving in, accessibility to data is moving along. It's not going to be someone stealing your USB drive or your CD. It's going to be someone hacking into your system, whether you're a big corporation or whether you're a small innovative one. So some of the issues that we're talking about here, I think, even though it's phrased for EMS, which is usually for big enterprise companies, I'm seeing that, or I predict, I think, that it's going to be really applicable to smaller companies as we get further into the cloud and so on. So just a heads up. So what I wanted to talk about was the managed mobile productivity. And so like Chris said earlier on, there's a metric that says that about 80% of employees have said that they use unmanaged applications. So what that really means is that you're using applications that you know you find useful, but they don't really care about the security of your corporation or the company that you know is breaking grounds and you know doing the most innovative thing. And so what that really means is that you know you've put your data at risk. You can lose data, there can be data losses and leaks, but also there can be data breaches. And at the end of the day, that's either going to lose you money or you know break the validity of your product, and you're not going to be the only one who is going to be able to do what you want to do. So what EMS does is that it protects your information, but it also encourages the productivity of your employees through mobile device, application, and information protection. We do this doing sort of four layers, which is managing and securing your devices. We also manage and secure your applications, and one of the big things here is that Office mobile applications are a part of this. As Chris mentioned, that there are other you know device management, application management products, but EMS is the only one that was designed for Office apps with Office apps in mind, so you get that big benefit there. We also, the third layer there would be data level protection, which I'll expand on, and user self-service. So when we talk about managing and securing mobile devices, one of the aspects that we go about it from is access management. So that just means that as an employee, you access the things that you are privileged to. That way, you know, your IT admin can sleep at night knowing that, you know, the things that are above your level aren't being exposed to you, but also you can know that you can't make an accidental mistake and, you know, put your you know, job in jeopardy for one reason or another. So Chris showed you the demo about conditional access. So what that is really saying is your IT admin is saying, I want you to be able to access your email and any resources across the company, but only if your device is secure and doesn't put the rest of the company at risk. We also offer features that allow device settings and compliance enforcement. Device settings, one of those options would be something like ensuring that your device has a passcode pin on it. How many people have a pin on their phone? Wow, if you have a phone, you should have a passcode on it. All right, so this basically stops the scenario of, you know, you're accessing your corporation's information, or even outside of a corporation, you're accessing your personal information. You leave your phone down and go somewhere else. Someone picks up your phone and starts acting on your behalf and doing things that you wouldn't have done, that later on you would have to answer to. So we provide the ability to sort of enforce this. We also have things like compliance enforcement, which you know ensures, Chris mentioned this earlier, that your device isn't jailbroken or unlocked in you know just bringing in different options of unsafe use of devices. We also provide multi-identity support. So what this means is that on your device, most people now, there are a lot more scenarios for bring your own device, so your personal device but used in a work setting. This means that depending on the type of account that you use to sign in, you access that information. So if you use your personal account, you're working with your personal information. If you use your corporate account, you're using your corporate information. And I'll expand on that a bit more. We also give you built-in security, and this comes from the app management side. So you'll hear MAM if you look up EMS. This is mobile application management. And this can be done with device enrollment or without device enrollment. It really depends on what your company wants to do. But what this gives you is it gives your IT admin the opportunity to, on a per app level, enforce security, and depending on what your company feels is important. We also give you file level protection classification, and that means that basically your data, whether it's an Excel file or a Word file, you can specify the security concerns on that sort of a level. And I'll also expand upon that. But the nice thing, again, I mentioned that EMS, it has been designed for Office mobile apps with those in mind, and is the only product that does that. So you get that gold standard of familiarity of Office mobile apps and the security over there. So talking about mobile application management, what this does is basically, I said it before, on a per app level, your IT admin can say what are the things that are allowable or what are the concerns that he has that he does not want to allow. So one instance would be, you know, you're using your Word application, he wants to ensure that the corporate information stays within the corporation. It doesn't get out into your personal device or into other places. And the way we do this is that in EMS, we have a product called the Intune Wrapper tool. So it basically takes an unmanaged application and wraps it with some logic that basically says, it checks back with our servers and says, are there any policies that your IT admin has enforced? And once you've done that wrapping, essentially that unmanaged application becomes a managed application that your IT admin says, I trust this, you can use this as you like, as you're accessing your information. So what that brings up is scenarios where, let's say this person, for example, has a tablet and they have a different array of applications. Some of them are managed and some of them are unmanaged. The unmanaged ones would be your personal applications. You wouldn't want anyone to sort of get into those, and your corporation doesn't want anyone to get into theirs. So one of the features that we mentioned earlier was a multi-identity policy. So this basically means that you open your Word document and you have a choice. You're either logging in with your corporate account or you're logging in with your personal account. If you log in with your personal account, you're accessing your files that are important to you. Your corporation doesn't see your file or have access to that, and vice versa. If you log in with your corporate account, you're accessing only the resources from your corporation, and they're not, you know, they're not seeing yours. So you have that sort of security. You have the one app, and then you have the multi-identity policy over there. Let's say that your IT admin went further and said, the information within our corporation, we want it to stay here. The information within our corporation, we want it to stay here. So we don't want you to be able to copy and paste outside of managed applications. So let's say you get an email. You know, you have an Excel document that's attached to it. You open that Excel document up. There are numbers in there. They're about sales reports or something. And you want to create some kind of a report to give to your boss. So you copy that information out. And, you know, not thinking about it, you open up your favorite word processor, which for some reason isn't Microsoft Word. And you try and paste it in there, and it won't allow you, basically because your IT admin has enforced that the information can't move from managed to unmanaged applications. So then you go back to your managed Word application, and you can paste it in there. So you're continuing to use the application that you know and love. So let's say you do your formatting, you put the report together, everything's nice. Now you want to save it. Again, you try and save to an unmanaged application. You try your OneDrive. But again, you have to think about there's the separation between the corporate information and your personal information. So that won't work. That save action won't work. If you open your OneDrive for Business, though, that action is supported. So the idea here is basically that we're not stopping you from being productive. We're actually enabling you to be as productive as you want to be. But the idea is that we want to do it with your security and your corporation security in mind. And so on the level of data level protection, we give you the option to basically protect your data at all times. So what this means is that on a per file level basis, you can specify the security. So it's simple things like you can ensure that your application or your files are always encrypted. And through Azure Information Protection, it manages the keys that will decrypt the file that you're accessing for you to be able to edit it and work with it. What this eventually means is that if you copy that application off of your device and put it onto another PC, for example, that file will still be encrypted and someone won't be able to open it because they don't have those keys. You can also, within Word or Excel or any other application, specify who should be sharing it or who would have access to it. So that actually applies within the corporation and outside of the corporation. And you also get added benefits of being able to look at the history and see who it's being shared with. And we feel that we're enabling users to be more purposeful about how they share information. And so lastly, the last option would be the self-service. So as Chris mentioned, you have the option to see which apps have been made available to you by your IT administrator. You can make requests for application installs. You can actually also manage your own groups, you know, add yourself to a group or remove yourself from it. And you can also reset your password. And so in a nutshell, that's managed mobile productivity. So if you have any questions on that later, I'll be on the side and you can ask.
So I think we have to wrap up pretty quickly just because we're getting out of time. But just to kind of reemphasize the, you know, the point that EMS really tries to leverage the existing investments that you're making in Microsoft rather than bringing together other point solutions from a number of other vendors. That can typically be a lot harder to set up and doesn't integrate well. It results with a poor end user experience. It can also be a lot more expensive. And so EMS, 100% Microsoft stack. We integrate deeply with other Microsoft services to deliver seamless experiences, and you know, you'll only see those benefits grow as the capabilities of all of those solutions expand. And this is really where I think we're winning in the market, that you know, our competitors have, you know, they stood out in, with a point solution, but as organizations look to expand their capabilities around mobility and security, they're hitting walls and barriers because of those friction points. So great benefit for EMS there. And just, you know, again, keep in mind, leveraging Azure, this is a scalable solution. We're actually able to update on a very frequent basis. So Intune, for example, every single month, we ship a new update to production, and that update contains a number of brand new features that you have asked for. None of our competitors can do this in such a quick way, but also using such a high-scale infrastructure. And so, you know, just to hammer that home, EMS, I think, addresses a lot of these value areas, and hopefully you can then go and start evaluating some of these services in your own organizations now that you know a bit more about them. So hopefully we can squeeze in a few questions at the end before we get kicked out of here.
My question has to do with on-prem Active Directory with Azure AD integration.
Yes.
We made a decision to focus on Azure AD and push back that into our on-prem rather than synchronize the other way up.
Yes.
Obviously, the expectation was that we'd be moving from legacy AD into Azure AD and connecting them that way.
Yes.
We've encountered some issues. I don't know whether this is the right forum in which to ask some questions about specific challenges we encountered, but we did find that there were some things we were unable to do. And so we sort of have to split it out and build up on-prem AD. Okay.
But just, I think one key point there is that some organizations do choose to keep kind of their primary identity provider with on-prem AD and then federate with ADFS so that the authentication requests come back to on-prem. That works and I think is beneficial, especially for organizations that may be more regulated or maybe conservative. But the flip side is AAD then becomes your primary identity provider and then you back-sync some of those things back to on-prem. Key benefit there is you have less dependency with on-prem infrastructure, and hopefully over time you start removing more and more of those dependencies so that you can eventually be more or less 100% cloud. So, yeah, we'll sync up offline if that's okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Great. Can we take one more? No. Okay. We got it. Okay. We'll wrap it up. So, thank you everyone for attending. It was great to have you here.